The title for the message today is Isaiah Vision, a Core for Today's Church. You know, when I saw the bulletin, I say, oh, I missed something here. It's the last word, church. Because that vision is for the church today. Today, more than never, we need to rehash the message that God sent us through this vision to Isaiah. When we read the Bible, we can find a beautiful, spectacular description about what happened in the sanctuary.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me.
Amen. What happened in that vision? The prophet washed. The prophet he hears something. The prophet participate in the way that the heaven worship God. I hope that like the prophet experienced more than 2,000, almost 800 years ago. Also, today, we can hear the God voice. We can see his glory. And we can participate in the worship, the right way that we move to worship God. I want to invite you to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, here in that portion of your word, we can find a beautiful, powerful challenge message for us. That is not only for the prophet so long ago, that is your message for us. That is the vision that you want that we can catch. Please bless us and guide us during this study. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What the prophet saw? He saw the Almighty, the higher God. He saw his glory. He hear his voice. And also, he was able to watch how God is worshiped for the angel. But also, we can find here that God called the prophet. But in this study, we will find additional perspective about this vision. This vision from Isaiah chapter 6 is record is one of the most extraordinary and significant revelations in all the scripture. It is the vision that has inspired profound reflection, powerful sermon, and compelling call to the service. Amen? Amen. But brothers and sisters, I believe that there is still much we can learn from this passage.
Cash. Its message remains highly relevant for the church today. Therefore, I invite you to look at this biblical passage from a somewhat different perspective.
I want to emphasize that point. That vision is from today. We need to go back. We need to feel that message. We need to receive that message. And we need to respond to that message. Because that vision is for the church today, more than ever. This vision reveals who God is. From the very beginning of the great controversy, when we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we can find that Satan has promoted a false image of God, portraying him as arbitrary, harsh, distant, and unloving. Jesus came to demonstrate that God is totally different. He is love.
A person may profess to worship God and yet have a mistaken understanding of his character. A distorted view of God can lead to worship motivated by fear, obligation, or misunderstanding rather than by a relationship of love and trust.
What happens if we don't have the right perspective about God's character?
In the first chapter of The Desire of Ages, Ellen G. White writes, "The earth was dark through misapprehension of God, that the gloomy shadows might be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God. Satan's deceptive power was to be broken." The fundamental problem of sin is not merely disobedience. It is also a false representation of God's character. Satan has accused God of being unjust and authoritarian. Many people have a false image of God.
Many people has what? A false image of God. Not only outside of the church, but sometimes, frequently, inside. We are here, but sometimes we worship not the true God, but a false God, because we don't know what God is, who God is. Please.
Many people have a false image of God, seeing him as a severe judge who is eager to punish, an arbitrary ruler who demands obedience without love, or a distant being who has little concern for human suffering.
The question is, that is our God? No.
Again, Ellen White wrote, "Through the false representations of the enemy, many had been so deceived that they worshiped a false God clothed with the attributes of Satan. Those who were in ignorance and moral darkness must have light, spiritual light, for the world knew not God, and he must be revealed to their understanding."
What correct knowledge of God is what? Essential to the spiritual life. John chapter 17, verse 3 say, And this is the eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is the everlasting life? If we want to get everlasting life, we need to know who is God, who God is.
Christ came to reveal what the Father is truly like. The Bible declares that God is love and that his law is an expression of that love. Jesus came to reveal that God is love, mercy, justice, and truth. The cross is the supreme demonstration of his character. Amen. True worship arises when we see God as he really is, a loving, just, merciful, and holy Father whose government is founded upon love.
God is love. God is merciful. God is no a distant God. He is very close God. He is our Father. He is our friend. He is looking always different. He always is working, not for punish us, but for save us. Not for punish us, but for our best. God always is working for our best. Who is God? He is the eternal King of the entire universe. Amen? Isaiah, he received the vision in the year that King Uzziah died. That was approximately 740 years before Jesus. When we run the calendar until now, it's almost 2,800 years. But that year, 740 before Jesus, was a special year for the people of Israel. What happened that year?
The expression "in the year that King Uzziah died" carries profound theological significance. While the nation mourned the death of an earthly king and anxiously wondered what the future would hold, Isaiah beheld the eternal king seated upon his heavenly throne.
That king, Uzziah, was not a weak king, was a spiritual, powerful king. He was in the throne. Israel, God people, they feel sure we have powerful king. We have godly king. We are safe. But what happened that year? He died. And now, what's the concern? What is happening with us? About concern about the future. Because the enemy, they were around them and they were afraid. In that year, God showed us to the prophet. And the message is, the earthly king is dying, but the heavenly, the eternal king is alive. Amen. I have the control. I am in control.
The message is unmistakable. Earthly kings die, period. God's throne remains forever, period. God continues to reign even when the rulers of this world come and go.
Amen. And we need to catch that vision. God is looking for that the church today can see him like an eternal king. he is sit down upon his throne. He had the control.
God desires not only that we recognize him as the king of the universe, but also as the king of our lives, as our Lord and sovereign.
Amen. Because sometimes we can say, okay, God is the king, the universe. He controls everything. But we need to say, he is my king. He is my sovereign. He has control over me. I am not supposed to be afraid because my God is the king and he has the control.
In an age when humanity seeks to play the role of God, pursuing power, demanding to be served, and exalting itself above everyone else, the Lord of hosts must be proclaimed as our only king, the only one worthy of our worship, praise, and absolute obedience.
Amen. He is our king. He sits on his throne. God has not lost the control of the universe, and that includes our own life. Amen. Nothing, brothers and sisters, happened to us merely for chance. Amen? Amen. The church today need to rediscover and experience the message of Isaiah's vision. God is in his throne, on his throne. God is still sitting on his throne. Our present, also our future, are secure. Why? Because God continues to reign. He is the king. The king Uzziah died, but God is still being the king. Also, he is holy. The prophets, he was able to saw how the angels say, holy, holy, holy. And because he is holy, we need to call to worship him in what way? Reverent and holiness. We, our hearts surrender to him. Fill out the gratitude and completely depending upon him. Amen? It's a privilege. We are sinners. But the holy being, he accept our worship. Amen? Even though we are sinners. The vision say that his glory fill out the whole earth, the glory of God.
In Isaiah's vision, the prophet beheld the glory of God. God's glory is not merely a brilliant light or visible radiance. It is the revelation of who God is. It is the manifestation of his character, especially his love, justice, mercy, holiness, and truth.
Amen.
God declared his own character to Moses. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. The glory of God is inseparably connected with his moral character.
When Moses asked God, show me your glory. We can expect that God show his power. Almighty, how he controlled the whole universe, but what Moses saw. God is love. God is mercy. God is graceful. God is love. That is the message. And the whole universe is filled out with his glory, with his love for us.
Jesus Christ is the fullest revelation of God's glory. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To know the glory of God is to know his character. Therefore, the final message of Revelation, calling the world to give glory to God in Revelation 14:7, includes presenting to the world a true understanding of who God is and how we are to relate to him and worship him.
Amen. That is a very important topic, because when we read that portion of the Bible, usually we say, oh, that is about the call that God gave to the prophet Isaiah. But when we see closer, we can find that is deeper. The message is deeper for us. Why? In that vision, the prophet Isaiah, he can see that God's dual ministry as a king and high priest and the time in which we are living. What is the message? Isaiah says, has traditionally to call, like I say before, the prophet, the call for the prophet Isaiah. But, Cash, please.
However, it also presents another major theological theme that runs throughout the book, divine judgment. Many biblical scholars have observed the unusual placement of Isaiah 6. Why is this chapter located here rather than at the beginning of the book? Chronologically, it would seem more logical to place it in chapter 1 or immediately after chapter 3.
Yeah, may say the call, the revelation, was supposed to be where? Chapter 1. But we don't find that in chapter 1, but chapter 6. We say, why? That is a theological reason.
The reason is theological rather than chronological. Isaiah does not always arrange his material according to the order in which events occurred. Frequently, he organizes the book to communicate important theological truths. The first five chapters of Isaiah emphasize God's judgment, often described as a covenant lawsuit against his people. Isaiah 6 brings this section to its climax while simultaneously introducing chapters 7 through 12.
The point is, the chapter 6 from Isaiah is about judgment. It's about the judgment in the context of the special, the special day that the God people clean his people sinner. The judgment thing continuing in chapter 7 and 8 during the reign of the king Ahab. Brothers and sisters, the point is, chapter 6 from Isaiah show us how we can live through the judgment and how God is dealing with our sinner condition and how God is calling us for this special moment to proclaim the special message for people around us.
Thus, Isaiah 6 serves as both the conclusion of chapters 1 through 5 and the introduction to chapters 7 through 12, binding these sections together through the central theme of judgment.
That is the message. There is a judgment, and God is looking for fair, clean our sin, our sinner condition, but also He is calling us for proclaim this message for this time.
The vision portrays the Lord as both King and High Priest. God is seated upon His throne, signifying His authority to rule and to judge, Psalms 11:4. Isaiah further emphasizes God's majesty by declaring, "The train of His robe filled the temple." Interestingly, the train, or the hem of the robe, is not simply royal clothing. In the Hebrew Bible, this term is specifically associated with the robe of the high priest.
Yeah, you can see. Even though He doesn't say He is the king and He the high priest, but He's portray God like a king, but also like a high priest. The biblical terminology presents that God is dwelling not only in His sit down on His throne, but also He is in the sanctuary. That is very important combination, and only God can be king and also high priest. Amen. Only God can be in the throne and also working for salvation of His people.
Therefore, Isaiah presents God as exercising both royal and priestly authority. These two offices together portray Him as the one who judges both politically and spiritually.
Amen.
In Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 3, the seraphim surround His throne, continually worshiping Him and proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Their worship highlights both the holiness of God and the significance of His ministry as King and High Priest.
The question is, we need to recast that vision. God is a King, but also He is our High Priest. Amen? He is ruling over the universe, but also He is working for save us.
This scene closely parallels Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, where the Ancient of Days is clothed in a robe, seated upon a fiery throne, while heavenly beings minister before Him. Both passages portray God presiding in judgment as the sovereign King and the heavenly High Priest.
There is a very close relationship between Isaiah 6 and Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10.
Isaiah also tells us that the temple was filled with smoke, imagery that recalls the Day of Atonement. The altar of incense, located immediately before the veil separating the holy place from the most holy place, served two important purposes. During the daily services, it functioned as part of the continual ministry in the holy place. On the Day of Atonement, it became closely associated with the ministry in the most holy place.
Some scholar present that even though the altar of incense was in the holy place, but really it belonged to the most holy place. We need, brothers and sisters, we must to experience God's transformation grace also. When the prophet saw the holiness, the glory of God, what he said, I am thy. But what God said, what God did for the prophet, he purified him, he sanctified him.
Like Isaiah, we must recognize our own sinful and helpless condition.
Amen? We must recognize our own sinful and helpless condition. Like Isaiah, we need to confess our sin so that we can receive forgiveness, cleanness, and restoration. God's grace and forgiveness alone can transform us and enable us to live the life that He has called that we live. Amen. Only through His grace, only when we receive the forgiveness from our sin, we can live freely the life that God expects that we can live.
Isaiah 6 is far more than the account of Isaiah's prophetic call. It reveals that God is actively engaged in the work of cleansing His people by removing sin from their lives.
Amen. That means we need to recast that vision, because that vision is for the church today. God is looking for clean us, our life.
We need to experience God's transforming grace. The judgment reveals God's faithfulness and justice. He is not satisfied to leave anyone where they presently are. Because God desires our redemption and restoration, He seeks to transform us in preparation for His soon return.
Amen. The question for each one of us is, with the question, we will allow God cleanse us in His last days. Isaiah allowed that God clean us, He also we need to allow that He can clean our life.
God is calling us to serve. Nearly 2,800 years ago, God called the prophet Isaiah. Today, the same eternal God, the sovereign King who still sits upon His throne, is extending that very same call to His church in 2026.
Amen.
There is a work that must be done. There's a message that must be proclaimed. The great question asked by the King is still the same. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? In other words, who is willing to go?
Who is going to go? Whom can I count on? Isaiah say, I am here. Send me to me. Amen. I am here. Send me to me. What say the church today? we are supposed to say, we want to go. We want to do something for you. We want to work for you. We want to fulfill the mission that you have for our church.
Nearly 28 centuries ago, Isaiah responded, "Here am I, send me." In Isaiah 6, 9 through 13, the Lord commissions the prophet to proclaim his message to the people. This commission echoes the work of the priest who sounded the trumpet before the Day of Atonement, calling God's people to prepare themselves for that solemn day of judgment. Isaiah may even have understood his commission in this light, for he asks in verse 11, "Lord, how long?"
God, how long? That connection with the answer, the question that the prophet Daniel said, "Lord, how long? How long?"
This question closely parallels Daniel 8:13 and Revelation 6:10, where God's people likewise cry out concerning the fulfillment of his righteous judgment. The same call that came to Isaiah is the call that comes to us today. God continues to send his people with a message for the world. The king is still asking, "Whom shall I send?" May our response be the same as Isaiah's. Here am I. Send me.
Send me. Brothers and sisters, it's the same God. Amen?
Amen.
It's the same people, different age, but the same mission. To proclaim God is sit down on his throne. God has the control. God is looking for clean us. God wants to empower us, and he is asking who want to go. And the answer must be the same. Different age, but the same commitment. I am here. Send me. To me. Remember, brothers and sisters, we are here for fulfill one mission. We come to the church to worship. That's a wonderful experience, but the Christian life doesn't finish here. We have one mission there. One mission there. God, Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Amen? And this is the people that God has raised for prepare the world for his second coming. Different age, but the same mission. Different way, but all people here is supposed to put the same effort to accomplish the mission. Example, now we are, the BBS is coming. Amen? It's a wonderful opportunity to fulfill the mission. You can invite your grandchildren, you can invite your nephew, you can invite your niece, you can invite your neighbor. You can invite everybody. Amen. Bring them here. They will receive the God message for them. Please do something for God. Amen. Do something for God. Amen. Say like the prophet, "I am here. Send me to me." God bless you. Who is God? His love, his mercy. Where he is, he sits down on his throne. What he doing? He is working for us. Amen. Who he is asking? What he is asking? Who want to go? And the God people say, I am here. Send it to me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much because you are love, you are mercy. You have the control over everything in the universe. That includes our own life. Please give us the confidence that we are under your control. You are working for us. You always will be protecting us. Also, allow that your chair can hear that question. Who is going? Who is able to fulfill the mission to proclaim this message? Please put in our heart that right answer. We are here, sent to us. Please bless everybody here. We don't know exactly which is the personal condition of everybody in this sanctuary, but you know the situation. If there is somebody here that is dealing with some health situation, health challenge, please show your glory and your power over that person. If there is somebody that is needing for dealing with some situation in the family, a marriage situation, please show your glory and your power in favor of that person. If there are somebody here that is dealing with financial situation, stress, anxiety situation, we can put every person in your powerful and merciful hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.